This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'm excited about today's presentation because I want to talk to you about church. That is, the fact that this program, The Armor of God, is sponsored by the Church of God International. Now, I know in your life you go through observing churches. You may be in attendance at a church, and you may be of a particular denomination, or you may not have any church connection whatsoever. But in the process of our lives, we come to recognize that not only are there different denominations, there are different purposes, different situations, and people have become fascinated with the idea of simply calling their place of worship or the place where they learn of the Word of God. They might call it an assembly, they might simply call it a fellowship group, or an evangelistic association, or simply a Christian center. But there is definitely in the Word of God the connotation of a church. Now, have you driven by some churches that have on their billboards outside of the church a C, an H, blank, blank, CH? I know you've seen those, right? Well, then at the bottom of that it says, what is missing? And the answer is, you are. C-H, you are, C-H. Well, we'd like to suggest to you today that as presenters on the Armor of God and part of the Church of God International, that you are missing because perhaps you have chosen to remain, shall we say, on the shelf or idle or distant, or prefer just worshiping God on your sofa or in your bedroom or wherever you may be viewing this program. But we want to encourage you today to consider the Word of God, because the church is significantly present in the Word of God. And in fact, I want to go through today the who, where, what, why, and how of the church. Now, you all do know that when you were taking English in school, they taught you, didn't they, that in order to write a catching paragraph, like for a newspaper article or a magazine article, you should have contained in that first paragraph the who, the what, the where, the why, and the how, right? Well, I want to cover some of that today. Now, I know in the brief time that we have together, I can't do that completely. That's why we are offering you today some very positive things that will assist you. First of all, the sermon is entitled, it's a sermon that I delivered before a live congregation. It is entitled, it's entitled, The Church That Jesus Built. The Church That Jesus Built. And the CD will come to you absolutely free of charge. But in addition to that, so that you become familiar more with the Church of God International, we have a booklet entitled Welcome to the Church of God International. Now, there's no requirement that you do anything about that, but simply request it to get an idea of who we are. You may appreciate our presentations. You may have learned some things through the Word of God as we present it here. But we want you to become more intimately involved and engage with us, because we are those on a mission. We are folk on a mission because Jesus Christ sent His church into the world to make disciples, that is, students or learners of the Bible and the Word of God, and to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we unabashedly, unashamedly, would like to have you part of our fellowship if there is a church in your locale. And you can ascertain that simply by calling us at our home office. But first, the literature. Simply make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. Or you can hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. And all of our material is absolutely free of charge. We will not do a follow-up on you and pester you or anything like that. But if you make an inquiry as to whether there's a church in your area, we can answer that question throughout the United States, Canada, in Jamaica, the Philippines, and all the way into Australia. We do have churches, and we have a growing number of folk on the continent of Africa who are making inquiries as to how they can become attached to or involved in the work of this ministry. So let's go on now to today's program. The question of who founded the church should be simple. Those who call themselves Christians means that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is the individual who formed the church. No, it was not Peter. It was not the apostles. They were participants, but Jesus clearly states in the book of Matthew chapter 16, on the premise of an answer to a question that he put to the disciples. Let's just take a quick look at the who formed the church. It is not your local pastor. It is not any of us who are in the ministry who formed the church. It was not Herbert W. Armstrong or Billy Graham or Oral Roberts and some names I could mention. It was not the Pope. No, the church was formed on the basis of an answer to a question that Jesus Christ presented to his disciples. And it says in Matthew 16 and verse 13, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I could put that question to you today and I'd get a lot of responses. Simply stated, some people would say, well, Jesus was a good man, or Jesus was a prophet, or Jesus was just a miracle worker on a mission from God, but they will not give you the correct answer. And Jesus asked his disciples this to get their thinking or to see what others were saying about him. And here's what they said in verse 14. They said, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. So there was this wide range of views about who Jesus is. Take a well-known personality today. Somebody might ask you about an actor, or let's take Michael Jordan from basketball, or Kobe Bryant, or someone like that. And since I'm in the Cleveland area, I have to mention LeBron James. No relation. But still, I just wanted to bring up to the fact that somebody might answer that question in a different kind of way. Well, LeBron James, he's a son. LeBron James is a husband and a father. Or he's a basketball player or a multi-billionaire or something to that effect. There would be a lot of opinions about who LeBron is. Well, there were lots of opinions about who Jesus was. And in response to what they said, Jesus says, okay, that's fine what others say, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Christos is the Greek word. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, from which we get the term Messiah. So Peter is simply saying, you are the anointed one. That's what Christ means. That's what Mashiach means. You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Wow. That's quite a bit to say. And here's Jesus' response, and I want you to get this response because it will indicate the importance of the who forming the church. He said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that is, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter. And Peter comes from a Greek word that means a small stone, a little stone. And upon this rock, what was the rock? Was it Peter? And I know erroneously people teach that Peter was the rock upon which the church was built. And they establish in their dogma that Peter was the first pope and all of those kinds of things. That is not what Jesus is saying. He started on the premise of, who am I? And when he gets the answer, it's upon his answer, the answer he receives, that he establishes that something he's going to build is going to be built upon that church. Look at what he says. He says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock," the rock or the truth that I am Christ, that I am Messiah, I am the Anointed One, "I will build my church, my assembly, my group, my following, my students, and the gates of hell," no, not Gehenna, but the grave, Hades, "shall not prevail against it." That's a significant thing to know. Now let me get into this for a moment. The who is interesting. But many people have opinions about the church on the basis of their experiences with human beings. I'd like for you to kind of take a look or travel in your mind's eye, if you would, to this notion. Human beings are human beings, and they assemble in all kinds of structures. It perhaps may be a fraternity or a sorority or some other kind of group or some situation where they do good in the community. Perhaps it is a secret society of some kind, but people come together. But really, when it comes to the church that Jesus built, it will contain people who are seeking after him, who desire him. It's a fun place. It's a learning place. It's a challenging place because you have to learn how to submit yourself to other folk and what they feel and what they think and how they see things, so that we all come to a unity in the faith. In the Church of God International, for instance, we have festivals where we come together, where a local church will come together with larger or more numerous churches from other places, like at the Feast of Tabernacles, for instance. That's a wonderful place of assembly. Or maybe in the spring holy days, we come together and we see fascinating things, children having fun, adults coming to know each other, learning more about their fellow members of the body of Christ, if you will, because if you are a member of the church, you are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And the church is his body. And he said he would build it. Now, it's a shame that men have come along and messed it up. Because once you get human beings involved, they seem to go astray. And there is a warning in the Word of God about that. But I just want to concentrate for a moment on this interesting fact that the church exists, it exists for our benefit, and that Jesus Christ said that he would build it. But there's another little insight on the what of the church. Who, what, where, when, and why, and how, and all of that. Let's talk about the what, because Stephen, who was, I guess you might say he was one of the first deacons. That's the term that we use, and we find that in the 6th chapter of Acts, but I want to go to the 7th chapter, because he says something in his presentation to those who pressed him in his day as to why he was preaching the things he was preaching and saying the things he was saying, and people were taking issue with this whole church thing. And primarily, you should know that the New Testament church started out largely Jewish. That is, the people were Jews primarily. There were Gentiles who eventually would come in great numbers. But initially it was Jewish, and so the Jewish segment of the population rebelled against this church concept down the way. And it resulted ultimately in Stephen being stoned to death, and one of the men who stood by consenting unto him to his death became known as the Apostle Paul. Yeah, God can change anybody. And even change you and me. Well, let's look at what Stephen said. In the 7th chapter of Acts, in verse 37, it says, "This is that Moses," speaking of Jesus Christ, "which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear." And this is a reference then by Stephen to what Moses said in the wilderness, because he concluded that this group of people in the wilderness was a church. That is, the children of Israel, after they left Egypt. He uses the term, the church in the wilderness. Look at verse 38. "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles or the sayings of God to give unto us. Now here we are in the 21st century. We are direct descendants of something that happened at Mount Sinai with the children of Israel who had been brought out of their bondage, brought out of sin. Egypt was a type of sin, with Pharaoh being a type of Satan the devil, and brought to a place where God could communicate with them, God could transform them, God could feed them, God could nurture them in his way of living. That's the purpose of the church. So Jesus comes and says in the New Testament, selecting different people from various parts of life. There were fishermen. There were women also who were homemakers and had gifts of service and so forth, but there was a tax collector among them. There were patriots among them. Jesus brought them all together to transform their thinking about how they should live their lives and become a ready participant in the things of Jesus Christ, the who, the what, the where, and the why. Why did Jesus build the church? Why did he select people out from different walks of life? Why is God pulling at your heartstring as you watch this telecast week after week and asking you to make a decision? And you know, we appreciate every time you make a decision to call, to write, hit us up on the email internet to receive the material we offer. We are so appreciative. But we'd like to see your face in the place, if you would. If you would just simply consider that we don't want anything from you except you, because that's what Jesus wants. He's using us as an element to do that. We have ministers all over this country, throughout the world, who would love nothing better than to make an alliance with you, make themselves available to you, to visit you in your home if you like, but even in a neutral place, it really doesn't matter, because we're not trying to hamstring you or hogtie you or take you kicking, dragging, and screaming into something that will not benefit you. That is not our purpose at all. But the church was designed by Jesus Christ to do some things. If you'll turn over to the book of Ephesians, this is where the Apostle Paul, yes, the one who was standing consenting to the man who called Israel, ancient Israel, the church in the wilderness, this man grew into a massive monolith figure for Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. He says that he was a prisoner in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. If you feel the tug of God on your heart now, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through this telecast, through our literature, through our sermons and so forth, then there's an expectation that you will make a move eventually towards that call. And so the Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Ephesus to say, look, you just can't stay where you are. There's a vocation to which you have been called. Just as you see images on the screen of individuals who look similar to you, of all colors, all ages, all shapes and sizes, from different communities throughout the world, not just simply here in the United States of America, throughout Canada, through Jamaica, through the Philippines, down in Australia, and yes, even on the continent of Africa, we have all of these people who are coming together, coalescing together. And I must say this, that there are other sheep who are not of our fold. And Jesus said that there were other folk as well, worshiping him, learning of him, and coming to have a relationship with him. So here's what Paul says, down in verse 11. He says, and Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church, you see that in verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, the anointed one. He says, and he, the Christ, gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. This is known in nomenclature as the fivefold ministry. Five different functions that people can attain to because Jesus Christ gifts them or equips them to these callings. And as a result of their calling, here's what they're supposed to do. Why the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that is the building up of the body of Christ. Well, how long is that supposed to last? Here's the how part of the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Well, how long? Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The church Jesus built was to be a place where you are remanufactured, reshaped, reformed. Have you ever heard of recycling? It goes on all around us every day. Recycling of dead material or used up material, it's recycled and to become reinfused, reinvigorated with life. And as a result of Jesus Christ saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you, I will send a help to go alongside with you. That's the Holy Spirit that is transformative. When I think back on my life, and all of the presenters here on the Armor of God telecast will tell you stories of their own lives, of how Jesus Christ came to such a place to transform us from what we were into what we are today. And what we are today, some of our old friends will look at us and say, what happened? You're different. You're changed. You don't talk like you used to. You don't think like you used to. You don't walk like you used to do. What happened? Well, the church happened. The church to which we are associated. And yes, we have a history, and my history compared to Bill Watson's history or Mike James' history or others who've appeared on the telecast, those histories may be unique to us, but they are similar to your histories. You've had questions, you've had wondering, you've had issues in your life, and especially concerning churches. Haven't you been disappointed by some of the leadership of some of the churches? Haven't you looked at some of them and said, wow, they look like people from Congress, you know, arguing and bickering and so forth? It gets so bad that, well, I don't like what you're teaching over here, so I'm going to go across the street. In metropolitan areas, you can go down communities and see church after church after church, sometimes the same denomination on the same block. How could that be? What is it that causes people not to want to come together and assemble together as Jesus Christ intended? Jesus says, I will build my church. And earlier in the book of Ephesians, in the fourth chapter, let me just read this to you in your hearing so you'll understand something about the seven unities, the seven ones. Here's what Jesus, what Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So how did we come to such a place of having all of these divisions and all of these denominations and all of these churches and yet claim that the church is one? Well, we of the Church of God International recognize this dilemma. We recognize that we are not the only place you can find God. We do not insist that we are the one true church. Or we are a part of the one true church, but we're discovering all the time additional brothers and sisters in Christ who by the power of the Holy Spirit have come to accept Him as Savior and have entered into a relationship with Him. And where there is unity, there is strength. And we band together and we lock arms, if you will, and have relationships that strengthen and revitalize us. And I believe, brothers and sisters, as you watch this program, and I can call you brothers and sisters simply because the Spirit of God is working with you. You are on a determination to answer some of the mysteries of your life, mysteries of why the church, what is the church, who formed the church, and what is my place in the church. When you begin to answer those questions and God leads you to understand it, it will be liberating. It will be exciting. The world into which we were born, think about it for a moment. We had no vote. Nobody asked our opinion. Nobody counseled with us as we were born into this world. We were born into traditions. We were born into situations. If your parents were Baptist, most likely that's what you became. If they were Roman Catholic, most likely that's what you participated in. So somewhere along the line, when you started to evaluate things and ask questions and ponder some issues, you began to discover that there were things inconsistent with what you could read in the Word of God. Let me just use me as an example quickly. When I was about 18, and you can look and tell I'm a little bit older than 18 now, but I began to puzzle about, let's say, something as simple as Jesus saying, if you want proof that I'm going to be the Messiah, that I am the Messiah, well, I am going to be buried in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Well, I was born into a world where it was traditional to observe Good Friday and Easter. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday does not add up to 3 days and three nights, considering we say Jesus died at around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday and was resurrected at sunrise on the first day of the week, Sunday. That was strange for me. So I had to wrestle with that dilemma, but I found a place that was honest with me. It's the place that I suggest that you consider. Because the literature that we offer you today will assist you and help you to understand more fully this issue of the church that Jesus built. In fact, the CD is entitled, The Church That Jesus Built. And the booklet is entitled, Welcome to the Church of God International. Now, welcome is a kind of a notion, getting the cart before the horse, perhaps. But I'm hoping that you'll respond. I'm hoping that you'll take time to call that toll-free number at 1-888-578-8791. Visit us on our website at www.cgi.org or call our home office during regular business hours, and we'll be more than happy to take your calls. Now, thank you for tuning in to the Armor of God, and I look to see you again for another edition of the Whole Armor of God. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.